I said, well, you know, I can try and help your son to get off of drugs and get on with life, maybe get in college. He'd like to, but he's not sure he can handle getting off of drugs. And then he told me he can't go home because you're worried that people know that you have a kid that takes drugs, that it would affect your career. And I said, I've removed this problem because it's going to be in the morning paper. And some photographs of you, too, because I have friends in Mexico that told me things about him, and I thought, well, if he's worried about it, let's relieve those fears. And the guy went, holy shit, you're kidding. And I went, yes, I am kidding. But I think we should do something to help this kid. And so I had somebody that, like Barb or people that are trainers, I said, I want you to take this guy, and every single day I want him to come and see you and then go to school. And we enrolled him in junior college. And every time he has a relapse and starts to take drugs again, I said, all I want you to do is tell him, look, just stop it again. And the fact that they had to show up, and every time he'd miss a meeting, right, they'd go and find him and find out, well, you know, I was with these people last night, man, and they had some coke, and I just couldn't resist it. But how does it work? Very simple. I met with him after he was a little bit cleaned out and not quite so crazed. At least he hadn't gone back to PCP and methadone and shooting it. I mean, this is a combination that, you know, well, let's just say it's way beyond a fruit cocktail. This is where you pick up a car and throw it at a policeman and then get mad at him because he won't pull out his gun. So you go out and get toy guns that look just like guns and go bang, bang, bang. And, you know, it's hard enough to tell in San Diego who the cops are and who the criminals are. Every time I've been there, there's been a big crime and the police go in and shoot the burglar and it turns out to be a policeman. I don't know what that's about, but it's just like in London, they're always finding one of the politicians tied up and bound in black nylons and a bra with a banana up his ass, right? And that's, you know, the first time it happened, I thought it was just something, but now that it's happened five or six times, I have some questions about just exactly what these politicians do. And I carry a banana with me. Right? And when people say, well, you know, blah, 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 I pull out the banana and I say, watch what you're saying. And people go. But then there's some weird stuff. You know, I was doing a seminar and it was, we use the union hall over there and it's, you know, the big, you know, trade union hall and we have a big room in the basement that we do our trainings in. And I went upstairs and I walked into one of the bathrooms and I had a little dysentery because it wasn't that clean over there. And I walked in the bathroom, and when I walked in, I looked down, and I realized I was looking under the stall at a pair of fishnet stockings. And I thought, oh, fuck, I walked in the wrong room. Well, it's not the end of the world. I walked out, but there was a picture of a man. And when I walked back in, the door opened, and this guy pulled up a pair of suit pants over a little pair of pink panties and nylons and garter belts. And he looked at me, and he went, oh, he said, never mind, it's not what you think. Now, I hadn't gotten around to thinking anything yet. I was like, you know, a big, burly guy at the union with pink panties and nylons. What am I to say anything about it? I, you know, it's their country. They have their culture. But it certainly says to me that I don't think the idea of separating boys and girls and having them have live-in educations is probably that good of an idea. Because it doesn't give people the opportunity to not be familiar with things. When people are unfamiliar with things, they don't know how to do it. Like pleasure. People are suspicious of it, right? They go, yeah, all these good feelings are things, but when are we going to get around to experiencing our pain? And I go, okay, wait here. I'll go in my desk drawer. I have a 2x4 with a nail in it. If you think you have to have pain when you change, I'll just change you, and then we go outside, and I'll whack you 4 or 5 times if it makes you feel better. But to me, if things are painful, you won't go back and use them. That's why if I draw polynomials on a blackboard, everybody gets nauseous. Even if it's a polynomial that means nothing. It's not about anything, it's just an equation. And people go, oh, fuck. Now, whoever taught them did some horrible anchoring. Now, when you were learning, nobody said, look, it's your brain, you get to do what you want with it, so how about making a control panel? Wouldn't that be cool? Right, okay, two things. When you make the panel, right, leave lots of rooms, and there's always nice to be able to pull another cover and have a whole other set of switches. Infinite, like Windows, you know, right? Because you want to have lots of choices. To me, I started thinking, well, wait a minute. If you can believe that the sun is going to come up tomorrow, let me ask you the question. Nobody answer out loud. but I'll bet you know the answer. Do you believe the sun is coming up tomorrow? Right? You go, yes. Right? Now, how many of you make a picture in your head? Right? And some of you as well might say something inside your head, and the voice has a location. It's on the right, the left, the front, the back, and it has a certain tone. It either sounds like it's going in or it sounds like it's going out. And then probably you have this feeling that goes, afterwards. You make a picture, and where that picture is and that particular voice constitutes what you believe. Now, this is the foundation of the first thing that I want to put in. See, because I don't care what color you make your control panel, but make it below eye level, okay? Because otherwise you'll be walking along moving knobs and you'll bump into something. When you go into Great America, south of San Francisco, they had put all these colorful poles so that people could walk in and it would spread them out. That's not what happens. People look up at the roller coaster, bam, and they hit the poles. So they put padding around them, but then there was less room, but people still managed to hit the padding, bounce backwards, fall on the concrete. So they finally had to go in with welding torches and cut them out, right? And then they put just kind of rubber ones on a post so people could go in and they couldn't hurt themselves. Because everybody was walking in, rather than looking at where they were going, they were looking at where they could be if they hadn't bumped into the pole. Now, if you have lots of pictures in front of you when you're talking, you won't see what's there. I found this out that when people were arguing, that many times what they were saying to someone wasn't the person, it's that the person stepped into a picture. So this person had a belief about what you were doing, that you didn't like them and you this and you that, and you walk over and stand there and say, what's wrong? Suddenly you're in that fucking picture. And so they believe that you really don't like them when you don't even know who they are and don't care about them. But since you're in their picture, so you have to be a little careful when you do these things. When you do the exercises, I prefer if you get on the side of people. Enough that you can watch them, but don't be walking around in front of them. That's like the Germans and the Italians together. The Germans, big still images, the Italians waving their hands around. Try making a picture and then go. You'll discover it goes away. And if you look at Germany versus Italy, it sort of makes sense. In Italy, when you say to somebody what we say in English is, look here, they say in Italian, listen here. And a little more auditory, but when people are really auditory and don't have still pictures, well, that's why it looks like they swept all the garbage up over the Alps and into Italy. And it's not that they're dirtier, it's just the nature of their culture and their language. When they argue, by the way, they don't look at the person they're arguing with, they look at the people who are listening. They stand back to back. And I'm not used to that. When I went to Rome the first time, the taxi cab driver got in an argument, stopped on the road, got out of the car, and all these people stopped, and they were talking to the people, not to each other. And I thought, this is fucking crazy. So I got in the front seat of the cab and drove off. And I wasn't going to sit there for 3 hours while these people tap danced around. Plus, I didn't know what they were saying. I didn't speak Italian. Where's the fun in that? But you see, I also found out, because this guy got really pissed at me. He showed up at the hotel. He knew where I was going. The cab was there in the front of the hotel, and he was furious. And he came in and he went, you stole my cab. And I said, no, I just finished the ride for you. And he started talking to other people, so I whacked him in the back of the head. Poof, like this. And he went, you hit me. And I went, it wasn't me. And he turned around, and I went, pow, and I hit him again. Because to me, if you're going to argue with somebody, you should watch them. Where I grew up, that's not wise. It's not a good decision strategy. You might as well take PCP and speed, you know, and then do one of those great things like get in a car, take the driving steering wheel off, and accelerate. This is the way I find that people run their brain because they don't have anywhere to steer their destiny. Now, that stuff about placebos I talked about yesterday, if you can change a belief, now, wouldn't that be neat? See, I was sitting there in Vegas one day, and I was feeling kind of bored. You know, they were doing an exercise inside the room, and I was sitting there, and it just happened the only chair was in front of a slot machine. So I thought, And I put $2 in the slot machine, that's all it would take. And I looked at it and I said, hey, babe, you look like you're feeling kind of heavy. I said, make me believe that you can communicate with machines. And I pulled the handle and the thing went wacky. Lights were going off, bells were going, dollars were flying out of the thing. Somebody came up and gave me a check for $1,200. And I still had buckets of silver dollars. And I thought, fuck the workshop. And I found out that if you do this right, you can't do it all the time, but if you can get in the right state, you can affect machines. People do this all the time. People think about somebody, they call on the phone, but yet they don't develop the talent. They try to prove it's true. We don't care if anybody believes we have a control panel, but what I care about is that what we do is connected. Because you see, the knobs are only there so that you can automate it. If you can ring a tuning fork and a dog can salivate, right? And everybody's always looking for salvation. That's what I hear, right? Well, get a tuning fork. If a dog can do this, I think you can too. Now, we'll try it this way. If you can go inside, right, you know that right now you have a belief, okay? Right? You know where it is, you know how big it is, you know how far it is from each and every one of you, right? Now, what I want you to do is to stop for a minute and think, what would you like to believe? How about you can go into a nice, light trance and change anything about yourself in a matter of minutes? Because most of the time when people change, if you can get a phobia in minutes, you should be able to get rid of it in minutes. And that when you build something in your control panel today, I want you to start out by believing that these things first have to be wired up and connected. So the one that says adrenaline, you're going to connect it together by doing something that creates adrenaline and moving it up and down and making it so it goes away and going it down so you can just push the thing and it works by itself. You know, you won't have to be at Starbucks every morning. Fuck that coffee shit, right? And if you add a little thing to that, not just straight adrenaline, but a little serotonin to cool it down and a little of this and that, you can make a state so that when you get up in the morning, you simply become ferocious. Something inside you lights up, you start to think of the possibilities, and you walk out the door in an utter state of determined ecstasy, right? And when people say, well, what do you think the problem with our company is? You just walk right past them and go, excuse me, I have to go make some money and have some fun. And they go, well, where are you going? And you go to work, and they go, what are you talking about? You know, I did the flirting seminar the first time I sent out advertisements for couples. And I got irate phone calls from all these people going, oh, what the hell are couples going to do with flirting? And I said, well, it seems to me they'd have more opportunity to use it. And he goes, well, once you're married, you don't need to flirt. And I said, well, take it from me, sir, soon you will. Hey, you know, you don't pay attention to somebody you live with. One day you come home and they're not there. Or you come home and you don't get to go in. Right? The dog looks out the window and goes, slams the curtain shut. Then, you know, maybe you should have brought some of those bones home when you thought about it. You know? There's a homeless guy in Scotland sitting on the street, and he had a dog with him. And it was raining, and it was cold, and he was underneath his storefront, bundled up in a sleeping bag. And the dog was there in a little blanket, and it was looking, and it had a look. It was looking at him like, you fucker. Because I could tell, it hadn't been on the streets that long, and it was looking at him. I walked by, and I stopped, and it looked at me, and it looked at him, and it got up and started to go with me, and I went, I'm in a hotel. The dog went, shit. You know, so I went in McDonald's. There's a McDonald's on this beautiful old Scottish street. McDonald's built this hideous thing there, so I had to go in. And I went in. Well, I don't eat their hamburgers, but I do like to pass them out. And I went and I got a big bag of hamburgers, and I went over and I handed them to the dog, like this. And the guy goes, "You know, I'd like one of those." And I said, "No, I'll bet you would." I said, "Look at the dog," and the dog was like. And then it was spitting out the bread towards him. And he'd look down at this bread with slobber all over it and go, well, that's, you know, lack of motivation, I think. To me, you know, in order to stand on the street corner and ask for change and get spit on and pissed on and shat on, these people have a lot more tolerance than I do, let me tell you. They're just, you know, think about it. This guy who's gone through all this trouble, you know, to be chased by demons and all this stuff, trying to turn his life around, and he was very sincere. Right, walks in, and I sit down, and I said, I got something for you, because I had gone in his car and taken all the drugs out of it. Because this guy didn't just buy some PCP and some speed. He got a couple pounds, right? I couldn't believe it. It looked like he was going to chalk a football field. But I saved it. I save everything. And I brought out this big bag, and I went, and I cut out this stuff, and I went, laid it and chopped it all up and put a big line out on there. And I said, when you look at that, do you want it? And he went, absolutely. And I said, well, what happens when you look at it? And he goes, well, I said, close your eyes. I said, you know it's here, don't you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, and you're thinking about it. He goes, yeah. I said, what do you do? do you see a movie? And he went, oh, no, I just see the line. And I say to myself, I know if I snort that, I'm going to feel really good. And I said, so you just have a still picture and a couple sentences to make a decision that's going to influence the rest of your life. I got some swampland in Florida I want to talk to you about. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, try it my way. What I want you to do is to look down, see the line, right? Hear the sound of your snorting it, right? Then you feel yourself get high, and then you start to come down, and you do more, and you run out of money, and you have to steal, and you get thrown out of the place you live. Your girlfriend leaves you. None of your friends will talk to you. You're dirty, smelly. You haven't had a bath, and you're laying in a gutter, and 6 months down the road, you can barely talk, and you're going through withdrawal kicking, and it feels really bad, and you're starting to hallucinate, and you feel something warm, and you look up, and somebody's drunk and pissing on you, right? And you open your mouth to say something, and it goes right in your fucking mouth, and when you spit out, you start to choke on your own vomit, right? And you realize you can't move because you've laid outside in the gutter so long your body is numb, and you try to get up, and you can't. And two street kids walk up, and one of them pulls out a knife and unzips your pants and goes, how about a trophy? Cuts your penis off, and you start bleeding, and you're in deep pain, and you go to scream out for help, but you're choking on your own, well, actually, it's not your, on somebody else's urine. And I said, now, do you want the line? And he went, well, it doesn't seem quite the same. I said, go ahead, snort it. It's yours. I saved it for you. Go ahead, snort it. And he went, well, I don't want to do it right now. And I said, well, you know you're going to want to do it later. Later on, you're going to look at it, and you're just going to make a slide instead of a detailed movie. Because, you see, why do people do things that are going to make them feel horrible? Because they don't have a different movie. If that's the only movie you'll make, he'll still do it. He'll go, well, I know it's not good for me, and I know I'm going to end up in the gutter, but at least I'll feel good for this long. Well, then, if you consider the other possibility, how about you make a belief right now? And all you do to make a belief is you know where they go, you know how big they are. So what you do is you make a picture where you see yourself sitting in the seminar feeling good for no fucking reason in 2 minutes. Then you take the picture and you move it all the way off into the distance till it becomes a point and pull it up right into the same place that your belief is, same size, color, black and white, and have the same voice go, wow, this feels really good. And as you feel your body change, I want you to take your hand physically and hold it up like this and move it forward and go, chick, chick. So as the picture goes forward, go, chick, chick. And as it comes up, I want you, the minute it gets there, to double the size of it and double the size of it and double it again. And if you don't feel different, check your fucking pulse, right? And then go back and do it faster. You cannot do this slowly. Make the picture, right, where you see yourself sitting here beaming, learning, being like the guy who sat up, facial color changes, and realizing if you do this, it'll only increase your sexual potency by about 4 times, make the orgasms 4 times as intense and 4 times as long in duration, and that'll be during before play. Well, hey, it's a placebo without the pill. It's called an idea. Take the picture and then suddenly move it out this fast. Go, and then pull it up, double it. And pull the lever. Lift your hand up and do it so you physically it's there. All right. You guys are a little slow, back up, do it again. All right, so that it goes, the hand's got to move while you're doing it. Because in the future, you just want to be able to go like that and change a belief anytime you need to. People say, well, you're not really the kind of person that, you know, would be interested in a job like this. It pays, you know, I know a lot of money and you get to do everything you want, but it does require you can make decisions. And if you have to go in and go, well, I don't know, just go, yep. As a matter of fact, I'm the right guy for the job. Do you see my point? When they go, yes, go, thank you very much. I was able to date policemen's daughters with that line. I'd go, you know, I'm the best guy to take your daughter out. Can you see my point? And they go, yeah. And I go, good, tell her to meet me at 7. And have her bring the squad car. I always wanted to drive one. And then you go and touch them on the shoulder and go, can you feel this? And they go, yeah. And go, thank you. That's my way of negotiating. Say, I don't like the idea that people could ever say no unless it's important for them, because I'm always negotiating for them to get what they want. I'm not getting anything for me. I don't care. You know, I mean, shit, you know, if they're miserable for the rest of their life, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Once they're out of my vision, poof, amnesia. People say, well, you know that client you had, you know, the one with red hair? And I go, was he here today? And they go, well, yeah, 2 hours ago. And I go, no, I don't. They're gone. See, if there's a client in the forest, well, they're lost. And they can make all the sound they want. But if they're smiling and they're happy, I'll know where they are anywhere on the earth. People will come up and they'll go, have you seen so-and-so? And I'll go, not in 5 years, but right now he's in Germany, Munich, in a Chinese food restaurant. And I'll give them the phone number and they'll call and they'll be there. Because I still don't dial the phone. Costs money to do that. Unnecessarily so. Pretty soon we're going to find a way around it. You're just going to walk up and look at the phone, right? And suddenly you'll connect some other way and talk. And the phone company's going to be very mad. They're going to want to charge you for thinking back and forth. I like that. They say in England they have commercials, it's good to talk. Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to have a telephone. You could actually get up off your fat ass and go visit somebody. I find that's nice. And you don't have to talk to somebody far away. You can talk to anybody. I do. I walk out on the street and go, excuse me, come here. I have something I want to try. Sit. I learned that from my dog. It works really good. People sit down and they go, what? And I go, now, close your eyes. And I'll do all kinds of things with total strangers. And they never, ever say a word to me. Other than, wow, that's really interesting. Who are you? And I go, oh, don't worry. I don't exist. I'm just a figment of your imagination. Trust me. Now, how many of you move the bleep? Do you feel differently? Okay. If you didn't feel differently, you didn't take the time to do it. You did the other one where you go inside and go, what the hell are you talking about? I don't see any pictures. Right? And then you go, what color are your mother's eyes? And they go, brown. And you go, how do you know that? And they go, I don't know. I just know. Well, there's a picture there, but obviously you're talking too much to see it. Because if you go inside and you go, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm absolutely certain that I doubt I can do this. So if you're absolutely certain about your doubts, I want you to be sure enough about them to be unsure and forget about it and stop fucking with yourself. And remember the mantra, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. It will help you through this. Now, where's the guy that was sitting in the front here yesterday? The one with the finger? You already have the finger signal. Okay. Will you grab a chair and put it over here? And where's the lady that had the feelings outside of her, that she was sitting here? I never got back to her. You're up there. Will you do me a favor and sit in that chair over there? If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I always like it when people volunteer on their own. But be careful, because that's the trance chair. And we're not ready to go into any trances yet. Okay, bring it a little closer. I love the term website, by the way. That's what it feels like when I get stuck in them. But I did something. I goofed. I tried. I keep trying these things out. I logged onto somebody's website, and I must have done something because it dissolved in front of my eyes. And when I called back, everything was gone. And they said they wanted me to register. You know, it said you must register your name to go on this website. So I wrote in your name, and it went into some kind of a loop and stuff. But it was back up this morning. Somebody just stayed up all night fixing it. They had an error in their program that allowed people to fuck with it. See, the neat thing is that you get to program your own website in your own head, because every experience you've ever had is available to you. Every chemical combination from total death to absolute ecstasy and health is available to you. However, you don't come with a manual. Think about it. You know, all those complexities, it must get lost in the uterus somewhere. Right. I mean, they don't tell you things like, for example, are there things that when you think about have made you angry for years, stuff that bothers you? Nothing like that? Yeah, you deal with it. So when you think about it, it doesn't bother you then. Never mind. That's just a suggestion. If there's maybe it's not so long ago, but maybe there are things that you think about from time to time, and when you think about them, they make you feel bad. Yes, okay. Now, what I want you to do is that when you think about them, okay, do you see pictures? You don't have to tell us what's in them. We don't need to know what it is. I think that's voyeurism myself. Okay, now, what I want you to do is to try something. You know on a TV, the brightness knob? Okay, what I want you to do is to look at this and turn the brightness knob all the way up really fast. Go, till it's white. Right, now, does it bother you? Okay, that's what stop it means. Okay? If you're making a picture of something that makes you feel bad, don't do it anymore. It's just a habit, because people go, Well, I wonder if I'm still afraid of this. Can I be afraid? Well, the answer to can I is always yes. Can you feel bad about this? Yes. But you can also go and look at it now, and when